The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
The shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Wendberg lost his glove on the play as he got body check. Got it to Goodrow in the corner, trying to center it, knocked aside. Ferraro keeps it in. Wendberg picks up his fallen glove. And now we've got pushing and shoving, and Barkley Goodrow's in the middle of it again with a much bigger Jamie Oleksiak. Are they going to get between them? Wow. Ferraro just dragged Oleksiak down right in front of the bench. A big scrum of players right next to the coaching staff and players on the bench for Seattle. They're all on their feet with ringside seats for the pushing and shoving match. And we'll undoubtedly get some penalties here, but nobody's really broken out in fights yet. Eklund, though, and Tolvanen thinking about it. Now Eklund is giving a shot. Eklund against Tolvanen, and here they go. William Eklund stepping up and fighting Eli Tolvanen. Wow, Eklund with a hard right against the boards. Tolvanen's coming right back. A battle of Sweden against Finland on this one. And the linesmen step in, so it's all Swedish and no finish on this battle.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hockey, guys. It's kind of how it works, you know. And, you know, there's going to be emotion. It's an emotional sport. And you're going to have that, and that's going to happen going forward. And, you know, as long as this game's around, that's going to happen. So it doesn't surprise me whatsoever.
All right, what is happening, everyone? It is a Sunday morning, and the San Jose Sharks are coming off a disappointing 5-1 loss to the Seattle Kraken, a game in which it was defined by missed opportunities, whether it was the San Jose Sharks not being able to bury their chances early on or not taking advantage of their opportunities on a 5-on-3 power play once again that we've seen very consistently as of late. This was just the Sharks not taking advantage of when they had an opportunity to make the most of it. And I think that's something that we need to focus on with San Jose going forward, because we often talk about mistakes being punished, and that's a very clear reality in the NHL. If you make a bad play, if you make a wrong read, if you make a poor coverage, if you make a bad pass, you will see things go the opposite way and often end up in the back of the net. That's nothing new to anyone. But I think last night was the sense that San Jose was not able to bury their chances early on. And the longer that they, even with a decent start in which they were out shooting Seattle and creating opportunities, the longer they went into that game without being able to get a payoff for it, the more life it was breathing into Seattle. The longer that Seattle was able to survive the start, the more and more confidence they gained from it. And so San Jose, despite playing a very strong start to that game, suddenly on the first opportunity for Seattle, finds themselves down 1-0. The Sharks have a good response. They give themselves opportunities. They create, but then it goes back the other direction, and then you see it up 2-0, and suddenly you're staring at a multi-goal deficit at home against a team that you've already beaten twice this year, and you're wondering what exactly is happening here, because we've taken advantage of our opportunities in the sense that we're creating, but we're giving up goals on the other end. And that just goes to show how it goes in the NHL. And even after they do bring it back and make it a tighter game, they see a broken stick on a Mario Ferraro defensive play that goes up ice and then leads to a goal. I mean, that's just the way it punishes you. It's not just the mistakes that you get punished for. It's not taking advantage of all the opportunities you are afforded. And that, as we look back on what the year has been for San Jose, is one of the things that we've seen consistently, is the inability to finish. And I think that's in part because they are a young team. And I think that's also in part because they are still a learning team. And hopefully that is something that they will rectify as they get deeper into this timeline. I would imagine that, you know, the percentage of shots on which Macklin Celebrini scores upon is higher. Same story for Will Smith and Colin Graf and Cam Lund and all these young players. I don't expect it to be perfect now. My expectation right now is that they are learning from these experiences and understanding that when the opportunities you are afforded are not maximized, then the other team has the ability to make it hurt that much more when they do catch a break, when they do have the opportunity to put one in the back of the net, because they made good on theirs and the San Jose Sharks did not. And I think, you know, the first four or five goals that the Kraken scored in that game were on 14 or 15 shots or something like that. And that's simply not going to get it done in the NHL. And yes, could Georgiev have been better in that game? Of course. But at the same time, you have got to give your goalie offensive support. You've got to be able to put pucks in the back of the net. You have to be able to take advantage of your opportunities. And in that sense, yeah, it's a game that the Sharks did not do those things when combined with some subpar goalie performances, of which I'm not placing all the blame, but you put these things together and it's going to lead to a bad performance when all is said and done. And that's what the Sharks saw last night. And I don't think this was on par with the 6-1 loss to New York or the 8-1 loss to LA. Those felt like very, very different games. But at the same time, the Sharks did not do nearly enough to win this game last night. They did not give themselves the chance that they probably deserved, at least in the early goings of this game. And then when they did make mistakes or when they did not take advantage of those opportunities later on or when they had breaks go against them, it was that much more painful of an end result. I know that a lot of people are going to walk out of this game fired up about the William Eklund fight. And yes, you love to see it. A guy getting his first NHL fight, that's always relatively exciting. But you don't want William Eklund in that situation to be fighting unless it's, you know, something that's very, very egregious and over the top. And not that I have a problem with it per se, but it's just like, that's not his job. You know, his job is to score. His job is to create. His job is to put his teammates in very, very high quality positions to score. That's what I want to see from him. And yes, I'm fired up that he gets in a fight, and it's great for the, you know, late in the game, which you're losing, to see that fire from him. And hopefully that's a fire that will continue to burn into his career. I don't think it hasn't been burning, for the record, but I think it's always nice to see just a little bit of that extra grit and grind from a guy, but it doesn't change the outcome. And it's something that I've talked a lot about this year, is that the San Jose Sharks are not great at creating their own momentum. Sometimes they're able to ride it, but this was a game where they were not able to battle their way through difficult circumstances to kind of reestablish themselves, even though they weren't putting the puck in the back of the net. You know, they had chances on a 5-on-3 once again. They didn't take advantage. They had shots early on where they had good looks. They didn't take advantage. You know, Eklund gets a post. I believe that Toffoli had a post, and there may have been a couple other in there. That's just the way it goes some nights, but good teams will persevere beyond that. They will keep on creating. They will keep on generating. They will keep on coming wave after wave after wave. And in this game, the Sharks were never able to establish that continued puck possession where they're coming wave after wave. They never had that buzzing feel. They never had that aspect of the game where it felt like they were about to take over down 2-1, down 3-1, and really flip the script on the game. And that's something that's, you know, indicative of their talent level right now. I can remember even the first game of the year a couple years ago, they were down 2-0 to Winnipeg in the home opener, the season opener, I believe. And, you know, they came roaring back in that game, and Tomas Hertl had a couple of games, and they still had Timo Meier, and they still had Erik Karlsson, and Logan Couture was still healthy. And yes, that's a very different Sharks team that we're talking about, but it's a team that's of established veterans. It is a team of guys who came through in big moments, and it was a team that still had more relative star power, even though you do have great young talent right now. These guys are all in the first year of their careers. And when you had Timo Meier and Tomas Hertl and Logan Couture coming in with San Jose, it was a very different situation. And yeah, Brent Burns was still on this team, like I said, with Erik Karlsson. So very, very different situation in which that team was able to generate their own momentum, create things out of nothing. Even when the team was not all on the same page tactically, as they were still learning early in the year, they still had the ability to turn things around in the game because their talent level was greater. But again, these players like Hertl, Timo, and Logan, when they came into San Jose, there was a greater supporting cast. It's not the same way right now with San Jose when we're looking at, you know, a Macklin Celebrini, a Will Smith, a Colin Graf, a Cam Lund. These are all phenomenally exciting young talents. I'm not trying to say anything other than that. But at the same time, the supporting cast around them, even with a guy like Tyler Toffoli, that's not the same as Joe Thornton. Let's just be very, very clear about that. That's not the same as Patrick Marleau. That's not the same as Joe Pavelski. You know, Tyler Toffoli is a great, great player. I'm not taking anything against him. But when you put the sheer number of talented players that were coming in around these young talents, you know, years ago to help them along the way, it's not the same. And that's part of the battle that this team is going through. They all have to learn together to take that next step. They all have to figure it out on their own. And I think that they are figuring it out on their own. But as a collective, if that does make sense, it's a battle that these guys are going through as a young unit to figure out how they're going to be a championship team in the future. And I think it's important that they go through this. They have to learn how to go through these hard games. They have to understand the ebb and the flow of a game. They have to understand momentum. They have to understand how to create their own momentum. They have to understand how to ride the momentum of the other team. They have to understand how to let that team's momentum carry them onto their face and then push it back in the other direction. That is what is happening right now, and you can still see that it is a work in progress. I expect it to be a work in progress because the Sharks have not been a good team for the last couple years. They are going through a rebuild, and these young players have to go through this if they want to come out clean on the other side. But we still have to call it when we see it. And so this is the thing that I am seeing consistently with San Jose, not burying their chances, not creating their own momentum, not being able to manage the game. We talk about game management a lot over the last couple of years, and the games get away from San Jose. You know, you want to be a team that if you get down 2-1, you know, or 2-0, I should say, you get that 2-1, and then that kind of is where it ends. And then you've got to be able to ride that 2-1 scoreline for a bit. If you can't create the equalizer, then you've got to make sure they don't go ahead anymore. And yes, fluke plays happen, sticks breaks. That's one way to look at it. But at the same time, if it does happen, you can't let it build any more than that. And then if you've got to then reestablish yourself and fight your way back into the game. And that's what the Sharks cannot consistently do. And they have to learn, and they are learning, and hopefully it'll make them a better team in the future. It also comes down to talent, and it comes down to experience, of which the Sharks do not have tons right now. And I'm not trying to take anything away from the veterans on the team, like the Wenbergs or the Toffolis or the Goodrows or any of those guys. That is just something that your top-level talents of your Macklin Celebrinis, your Will Smiths, these guys, they have to figure it out along the way. Same thing with William Eklund. They have to figure it out along the way. And I know that we've remembered William Eklund for a little bit longer in this timeline currently because he had, you know, some brief stints for, you know, less than 10 games over the last couple of seasons before last year when he was a full-time NHL player. But this is how it works in the NHL. Young players have to gain experience. The Sharks do not have the collection of talent that's always going to allow them to flip things right now in any given difficult scenario. But the hope is that what they're going through right now will allow them to do so maybe in the second half of next year, or hopefully definitely in, you know, two seasons from now, to where they are ready to take those next steps. Because William Eklund and Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith are all going to be taking those steps. You know, Colin Graf next year, he will have that much more experience under his belt. You know, Cam Lund, I imagine he'll get very much similar to the Colin Graf treatment where he starts out with the Barracuda and then has the opportunity to come up with the Sharks, or not. But these are the things that they have to go through right now. And unfortunately, it's not a lot of fun. I think that is the other aspect of this that we all have to look at is that, yeah, you have to go through this painful process to be a better team when all is said and done. And right now it's a process. That's most definite. But I would hope that we were able to look at this in a couple of years' time and understand that it was worth it. There are no guarantees, but again, you look at all the different options the Sharks have through this rebuild, the amount of players they brought in, the draft picks. It does feel like it's pointing towards something good. We obviously won't know till we get there, but again, I like what I'm seeing consistently from San Jose. It's just a painful process in the here and now, and there was pain expected. There is still going to be pain in the future, but ultimately, we hope that they are learning from these experiences. The payoff, though, doesn't come in the immediate future. It comes next season and thereafter. This is still something that they're going through, living each and every day. To learn, you have to go through it, and you have to get into the offseason. And then those lessons in the offseason are truly applied when you're growing your game, when you're getting ready for that next season. Sharks are going to have a long offseason again. Even the guys that are taking part in the Worlds and such like that, or we imagine they will be, there's still things for them to learn. There is still much that they have to figure out along the way here in the NHL game, in the professional hockey world. And right now they are early in that process. So we watch, we critique, and then we wait to see what the adjustments are in the near future. But missed opportunities, lack of generating momentum, inexperience, a lack of overall talent, a Seattle team that probably should be better than their record, a end of a hard year for San Jose. All these things culminated in last night's loss to Seattle. We are going to speak with Drew Remenda a little bit later in this morning's program, but before we do so, I wanted to get to some of the highlights as well as some post-game reaction from head coach Ryan Warsofsky. Let's start off, though, with the Kraken striking first, despite the fact that the Sharks had been the better team throughout the early goings.
A long headman pass on the right goes to Burakovsky, gains the zone, throws it in front of the net, they score! Jared McCann getting the pass from Burakovsky, driving the center lane off that long stretch pass from inside the Seattle zone all the way up to the Sharks' blue line, and McCann, who's noted for a goal scoring, gets his 19th of the season. It is 1-0 Seattle.
So Jared McCann makes it a 1-0 game for Seattle, some 5:46 into the game. About 4 minutes later, Andre Burakovsky would make it a 2-0 game with his 10th goal of the year. And at that point, everybody's thinking, what happened, right? Like, San Jose was creating more shots early in the game. They weren't able to put them in the back of the net. Again, those missed opportunities. But the sleepover line did get themselves back into this game, with Will Smith, assisted by Tyler Toffoli and Macklin Celebrini, having the deficit with just over 5 minutes remaining in that first period.
There's Toffoli on the left wing board. Seattle zone. Put it back to the point men. Thompson keeps it in. He's on with Ferraro. Celebrini. Toffoli. Shot. Save. Rebound. Score! Will Smith was in front of the net. Might have gone off the defenseman. But the Sharks come in with methodical precision and get that puck to the net. A really good job to get San Jose on the board with 5 minutes and 42 seconds left in the first, and Will Smith in front of the net should get it.
At that point, you are hoping that San Jose can reestablish themselves in the game and fight their way back into it, but that is not the way that it would go. Second period, as Mario Ferraro looks for a keep-in only to find a broken stick. The puck goes the other way, and Chandler Stephenson makes it 3-1.
But here comes Cam Lund across the Kraken line. Drop pass, Grundstrom rips the shot just wide of the net. And now Ferraro broke his stick on the play. Taken back, 2-on-1 for Seattle. Moving in, score! Stephenson on that broken stick by Ferraro takes it up the right wing side. A left-handed shot beats Georgiev to the stick side. And it's 3-1 Seattle. A tough break on the broken stick for Ferraro.
And it was one of those nights for San Jose, as we mentioned. If they were not getting the maximum out of their opportunities, they were finding broken sticks leading to goals, and that's just how it goes in professional sports. When you enter an arena where any outcome is possible off of any carom, deflection, or broken stick, then you have to acknowledge that any outcome is possible, and that's just the way that it can go. Then suddenly, on top of that, Seattle's adding on. It's 4-1.
Thrun just lost it. Here comes Schwartz down the left. Winds up, blast one! And the save made there by Georgiev. Wait a minute, it's in the net! It went off of Georgiev and in, and now it is 4-1 Seattle. I'm stunned.
I think everyone was a little bit stunned at that point, Ruzy. And then, with just under 2 minutes remaining in the second period, Jared McCann buries another. It's 5-1, and San Jose was not going to be able to get themselves back into this game.
Drop pass, McCann moves in. Shoot, score! Wright moving back the other way after that chance by Liljegren went to Smith and did not go in. And it goes in for Seattle as McCann gets his third point of the night, second goal of the game, on the little drop pass from Shane Wright with a minute 53 to go. And now it's 5-1 in favor of Seattle.
It is a tilted score line, but I do not feel it was anywhere near as bad as the game against the Kings or the game against the Rangers. It's still not a score line that you're going to be happy with when the game comes to a close, but I don't think it was as bad as it looked. The Sharks did create opportunities. They were not able to catch the breaks in this one. That's just how it goes in the game of hockey. Let's hear from head coach Ryan Warsawski and some of his thoughts after last night's loss.
Yeah, very frustrating. We were sloppy. I actually liked their start. You know, we pressed. Their first chance goes in the back of the net. I think their second chance goes in the back of the net. So that's not how you want to start a game.
No, if the other team has had two shots on goal and two goals, that is not a great way to start a game, especially when San Jose created opportunities early on. A frustrating night, a not clean night for San Jose, and eventually does lead to a loss. But for Ryan Warsawski, he's got to know that there were parts of this game that San Jose was the better team. It just didn't go their way. But again, San Jose, in many aspects of last night's game, their own worst enemy. There were mistakes. There were missed opportunities. There were, sure, some breaks that didn't go their way, but they didn't give themselves the best opportunity to win this game. But again, to my point, it's not as bad as those games against the Rangers, the Kings, or earlier this year that we saw against a team like Edmonton or Vegas. This was a San Jose Sharks team that at the end of the year has gone through a lot, does not have the same talent that they did previously. And oftentimes, if there is a play that is going to be punished on the ice, the Sharks are going to receive the max punishment. William Eklund spoke after the game. He was asked about the fight and frustrations boiling at the end.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I think we had a lot of chances this game. I had a couple that I need to put in that, you know. And frustrating was taking over. I don't even remember that much. We just in that brawl.
I mean, you can hear it in his voice. He's tired of the losing. He doesn't want to go through this. He knows there were mistakes. He knows there were missed opportunities. When we talk about learning, we talk about going through painful situations and not wanting to experience them again as a hockey player or as a professional. And for William Eklund and for Macklin Celebrini and for Will Smith and Colin Graf and all these young players, they haven't had to go through this before. And right now they are going through it. I mean, obviously William Eklund had to go through last year, clearly, but you know, they are understanding the realities of the NHL and they're going to know what they need to do with their games to grow them going into the next year. And in addition to the obvious and natural progression of their games as they do become more experienced in the NHL, but right now this is not a whole lot of fun for them as they get through the final few games of this year and get to the finish line, a finish line that for all of them comes prematurely, because I could ask every single one of them to a man, they're not ready to stop. They all wish that they were on a playoff team, and hopefully that's where they are sooner rather than later. As I said, I spoke to Drew Remenda on Friday afternoon. I used some of that conversation. Yesterday's edition of the Build Up was not able to fit all of it in, so you're going to hear the remainder of that conversation right here on Morning Tide. We pick up here talking about the parting of ways with John Tortorella and the Philadelphia Flyers, and I relayed to Drew the story that was shared by Erin Andrews where she was getting frustrated hearing about some negative opportunity, and Torts came up to her and said, hey, you've got to have thick skin, which I was saying coaches, even with the sideline reporter, always looking for an opportunity to coach.
Yeah, well, I'm very biased about John.
I know you are, and I am, yeah, as well.
We exchanged texts when he was let go by the Flyers. He's a wonderful, wonderful human being. I can point out a couple of things. Bringing in Mr. Gaudreau, Johnny's father, yeah, to the Flyers camp, to the Flyers practice this year.
Yeah.
Because his dad was his coach. Coached Johnny and his brother the whole time.
Yeah.
And brought him into practice. And I thought that was a great moment.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Woodcroft, our friend, former Sharks assistant coach, former Edmonton Oilers coach. Jay called him just because Jay's just reaching out to people and some people he hasn't yet met, and he's talking to him. And John said to him at training camp, before training camp, he goes, why don't you come down and watch training camp, be involved? And Jay said, Jay didn't know John at all And Jay said, really? He goes, yeah, come on down. And he came down, was with them all the time, watched training camp. Because John Tortorella cares about people. Now, with his players, he's a certain way. But you know what you get. You ask most players that played for him, they love the guy. Go through a wall for him. It's like Pete DeBoer. I asked Pete DeBoer, I said, how come players always have career years with you? And he laughed. And he said, well, probably because you're only talking to a certain group of players, because there's some who have lost my number, Drew. So it's just, you know, coaching and what it is. But coaches are coaches all the time, you know, not just in hockey. They're coaches in life, too. I was blessed in my life to be around my father, who coached, Dave King, who I just talked to the other day, who was a great Canadian coach, mm-hmm. George Kingston. Kevin Constantine was a great coach. And I learned a lot from Kevin, and I got to talk to all these coaches, like from Peter DeBoer to Scotty Bowman to Al Arbor and Lauren Henning, when he was coaching. There's so many great coaches that you get to be around. They care about you as a person, because nowadays you have to care about the player as a person before they care about what you know about hockey. You have to.
Yeah.
And that's just the different generation now. So yeah, coaching it's a funny thing. Ryan Warsofsky, you know, at 37 years old, and this coaching staff, they're great. I know I said that last year about David Quinn. I still believe about David Quinn, that coaching staff. I believe about every coaching staff. The work that they put in is phenomenal, but also the understanding that they have of where they're trying to get to. But a lot of times coaches don't get that runway, right? Because it is about what you said, winning and losing. So you got to hope that you've got a general manager and an owner who believe in what you're doing, and you have constant communication with them. And I understand the plan. This is my plan. And you have talk back and forth. Sometimes, like Barry Trotz said earlier this year, the plan is written in ink, The process is written in pencil.
Yes.
That's what it is right now.
What do you think, as you have been through a difficult year as a coach, what do you think that Ryan Warsofsky is going to draw upon this? Because I look at how it worked for Bednar in Colorado. Like, they went through absolute
22 wins. Only.
Yeah. You know, look at how it went in Tampa. You know, that's a very similar situation. And then I know that everyone can point to these as examples, but I can also point to other examples that didn't work out. But I do think there is something of a group that is, you know, baptized by fire. They come out on the other side a harder, denser, better product overall. It doesn't always,
nope. But
it can. And that's what I kind of feel like is happening here.
Well, the first year we won 17 games at the Cal Palace. Second year we won 11. And that year was phenomenal when you look at the year of the streaks of losses.
Yes.
But it's just, and you look at the scores and you go, how many goals did you guys give up?
Was he one up 1-0 on, was it New Jersey and lost 13-1?
No, that was Calgary.
It was Calgary, okay.
So I can only tell that story.
Go for it.
So we've lost 15 games in a row. Okay. 17 is the record. We're going to Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg road trip. And George Kingston, I love George Kingston so much. He's going to give the boys a talk. Okay. And after about 10 minutes into this talk, and you know as well as I do, 10 minutes is a long time for a pregame talk. He's trying to rouse the boys. I look at Bob Murdoch and I point to my imaginary watch. He gives me the shrug. He goes, I know. But George couldn't stop, could not stop. And the guys are, you know, they're looking at their laces. They're looking for shit. They're looking around. Everything else. And as we go back to the coach's room in Calgary, Bob goes, Drew, I go, yeah, he goes, what'd you think of the speech? I said, which part? And he goes, George goes, I know, I couldn't stop because I couldn't get to. I said, stop now, stop talking now, just let it go. And we all laughed, everything else, but they were two of the most wonderful human beings on the planet. And we take the ice, and about 4 minutes in, I think it was, Johan Garpenlof scores. And George looks down the bench and goes, ta-da, see, the old guy got him going, right? They scored 13 unanswered. And then the next game was back-to-back. The next game we play Edmonton in Edmonton, and they beat us 6-0. And Mudd at the end of the game, and now we're like, we're lost. I mean, we've lost 17 in a row. We've tied the record. It's, I mean, the guys are so, like Jeff Hackett smashing sticks over the net and the boards. And we're in there, Bob Murdoch looks at me and goes, Drew. I go, yeah, but he goes, what do you think? I said, I don't know anymore. I don't know what to say. And he goes, I think it's great coaching. I went, excuse me? He goes, we just cut our goals against by 50%. We were awesome tonight. And I was like, okay. You had to go through with some humor.
But, of course.
You know, but then the next year, Kevin Costine comes in. We bring a bunch of new players in, veterans, and that makes the difference. The horses make the difference, yeah, right, in the race. And we make the playoffs. We beat Detroit, come within a crossbar, beating Toronto, Garpy again. And, you know, it's – but the difference is in that year when you're losing all those games and you're losing a lot, it's hard – for the players, it's hard for the staff, it's hard for everybody around the team to have hope going into the game. Yeah. Now, George Kingston used to say, hope hockey is losing hockey. You don't play with hope. You know, you go in with the hope, or at least the positive belief, or the belief period that something good is going to happen tonight for you and this team. When your belief system is fragile, all it takes is one thing. It takes one bad break, one bad bounce, one goal. That just changes everything. For this team this year, the San Jose Sharks, their belief system has been strong. There's been a few games where you saw it waver. Winnipeg right off the bat.
Yeah.
Winnipeg, that was an early game that you saw it not there. It was a game, I think it was a Vegas game, or I can't remember where else. But
yeah, they lost to Winnipeg and then Vegas pretty close. Yeah.
There's been a couple of times where their belief system was fragile. But for the most part, That hasn't happened this year with this group. They have looked and acted and played like they believe in what is happening. They believe in the direction of the team. And most importantly, they believe in each other. And that's what really matters. They believe, if I've said this 1,000 times and I'll say it 1,000+ more, is that it can't always be about the coach. It can't always be about the manager. It can't always be about everybody else. It's got to be about the guys in that room. And when you get that, that's that culture we're talking about. When you get that on your team and you that takes hold where the players are the messenger, then you've got yourself a hockey team.
All right, we're out of time. I will see y'all on Monday afternoon as we get ready for Calgary for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.